Ha létezik abszolút legenda, amely egy személyiség halála után élőbb, mint annak pályafutása alatt, akkor Elvis Presley mítosza kétségkívül ezek közé tartozik. Meg a sztár volt már életében, és szinte minden lehetséges rekordot magáénak tudhatott, de feltételezhetően ő sem gondolta, hogy tragikus halála után miféle új, egyedülálló karriert fog befutni. 1977. augusztus 16-án, 42 éves korában szívrohamban halt meg a rock'n'roll királya. Elsősorban korabeli felvételek, a zenész főszereplésével készült filmrészletek felhasználásával, legendás alakját, az egész világ fiatalságát lázba hozó zenéjét mutatja be a magyar származású Andrew Scholt, vagyis Scholt Endre dokumentumfilmje.
Can I get you some sandwiches?
I'll be fine, Pauline. Check on this for you. Slip that, darling.
Good morning, everybody. It's WGAN Radio in Portland, Maine. It's 74 degrees at 8:05. Time to get ready for Elvis Presley. Elvis will be coming to Portland later today for his concert at the Cumberland County Auditorium. Elvis' show is almost sold out, but we have 6 tickets here at WGAN, and we'll be giving them away to you, so stay tuned. You just might be a lucky winner. Right now, Colonel Parker is already over at the Sheraton Hotel, and Elvis's guys are setting up for his arrival. So don't touch that dial if you want to know everything that's going on around town. I'll be talking to some of them, the Memphis Mafia, as they've come to be known, and we'll have the up-to-the-minute word on what's happening with Elvis Presley in Portland. Right now, Elvis is still at Graceland, his home in Memphis, but he'll be arriving here later this afternoon in his personal jet, the Lisa Marie. Now, here's another Elvis record, his latest hit, Moody Blue.
Well, it's hard to be a gambler, betting on the number that changes every time. When you think you're gonna win, you think she's giving in. A stranger's on your mind. Yeah, it's hard to figure out what she's all about, but she's woman through and through. She's a complicated lady, so call her my baby.
Hey, Joe.
Heard from the boss yet?
Haven't heard from him.
Getting all ready for Portland?
Yeah.
I think I'll call and see if the plane is in yet. Yeah. Be right up.
Quick, get in here.
myself as fainting.
Call Joel.
Excuse me, Colonel. Joe Esposito's on the phone from Memphis.
Yeah, Joe.
Colonel, I'm at Baptist Memorial Hospital. I'm afraid I've got some terrible news. Elvis is dead.
Pandemonium has broken out here on Elvis Presley Boulevard in Memphis. Thousands of fans from all over the country are converging on Graceland, trying to get in to view the body of the 42-year-old king of rock and roll. The world is shocked by Elvis Presley's sudden death after attempts to save his life failed. The apparent cause, according to his personal physician, Dr. George Nikopoulos, is a heart attack. The singer's father, Vernon Presley, has requested that an autopsy be performed.
I was raised on Elvis. We started when I was 10 years old. My mother and daddy loved him. And I just say I was raised on him. There's nobody else like him. There won't ever be anybody else like him as far as I'm concerned.
Why go to all this trouble?
Because we love Elvis. We still do.
You're not going to get in, you know.
Doesn't make any difference. I'm friends with quite a few of the people in the group, and I want them to know I'm here. Maybe they'll see me on the street. We loved him very much.
I just can't believe he's dead. It's terrible. But I just thank God that Elvis died here at Graceland instead of on the road just like any other rock and roll singer.
Whether you're black or white, whether you're country, redneck, or a freak, young or old, from Moscow, London, or Memphis, Elvis Presley will still be the king of rock and roll to me.
I was born in a small cotton town in the rolling hills of Mississippi.
Bye, Mama.
I guess Tupelo was as good a place as any to grow up in.
Hi, Grandma.
As far back as I can remember, Grandma lived next door. Daddy was a sharecropper. Most of the time, we got by all right. But one year, he went to prison after writing a bad check for some fruit. Mama got us through by taking in washing and sewing. Mama and I were always real close. I had a twin brother, Jesse, but he died at birth. So I was an only child. We were a religious family. First singing I ever did was in church. Gospel songs were always a strong influence on my music. I guess I was kind of a loner, but I wasn't much different than other kids I grew up with. I'd hang around parts of Tupelo my folks never even knew about. If Mama had known where I was half the time, I would have caught hell for it.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm home.
This friend of mine used to take me across town to an area called Shake Rag. And that was when I first heard the blues. It sure was a lot different than the music we were singing in church.
Let's watch him play.
Treat me this way.
I realized then that music, the blues, gospel, or whatever, is all about letting out what you're feeling inside.
Baby, you had no business treat me this way.
For Elvis's birthday, Vernon and I saved up and we gave him a choice between a bicycle and a guitar. Elvis sure loved that guitar. There simply wasn't enough work for Vernon in Tupelo. He tried everything he could, but we just couldn't make a steady living down there. We hated to admit it, but we were broke, flat broke. We packed everything we could into our old Plymouth and moved on. Things just had to get better.
The years in Memphis weren't much easier for us, but at least Daddy had a job at a paint company and Mama was working part-time. Around other kids, I felt kind of different. Maybe it was the clothes I wore, that I had long hair and sideburns when other guys had crew cuts. But somehow, I just didn't fit in. I guess in a way I was kind of shy, but I knew something good was going to happen to me someday. I just didn't know what.
Yes, it's great, just one way. Everybody likes my Rocket 88.
I worked different jobs after school so I could afford my favorite R&B records and shop clothes. And people always bugged me about my hair. Later on, I had so many kids using pomade, like greasy kid stuff, I should have got a piece of the action. But I like my hair long because that's the way truck drivers wore it. I went to Humes High in Memphis where I got my share of B's and C's. I thought I might do better in music, but the teacher gave me a flat F and wouldn't let me in the glee club.
Right, our next Club Day performer is Elvis Presley. Elvis, come on up. It's your turn.
I was real nervous when I had to get up there. I thought most of the kids in class were going to laugh at me because they figured I wasn't good at anything. When my turn came, I decided to try an old rhythm and blues song I'd been practicing.
Train her out. 16 coaches long. Train arrived. 16 coaches long. Well, that long black train got my baby at home. Train, train. Coming down, down the line. Train, train. Coming down, down the line. Well, that long black train got my baby at home.
Everything seemed to change for me that day I sang in front of my class. And after that, I could always count on my music to help me make friends, especially girls. After graduating high school, I made a record for my mama's birthday. I'd kind of gone in there to be heard by the owner, Sam Phillips. Later, Sam called me back to work with Scotty Moore and Bill Black, two fine musicians. At the time, Sam Phillips was recording a lot of black artists, and the word around Memphis was he was looking for a white singer with a black sound. We tried to cut a record for 6 months, about 50 songs. Nothing sounded right.
Hold it, you guys. Bottom line here is this is just not making it. Now, if we can get something that will, great. If not, well, let's rack it up. Elvis, you can pull it out of yourself. You can do it.
All right, sir. You guys remember that old blues song we used to do?
The one we kicked around yesterday?
Then it all kind of clicked. Even on the first take, we knew we had something.
Well, that's all right, Mama. That's all right for you. That's all right, Mama. Just any way you do. Well, that's all right. That's all right. That's all. Mama, she don't tell you. Papa don't tell me too. Son, that girl you fooling. Well, she ain't no good for you. Well, that's all right. That's all right. That's all right now, Mama. Any way you do.
This is Dewey Phillips with Red Hot and Blue, and this record will flat get it, people. It's called That's All Right, Mama. It's going to be a big record for a boy from Hughes High School. His name is Elvis Presley. It's on the Sun record label. That's Sam Phillips' label from here in Memphis. And it's been the most requested tune on Red Hot and Blue for two or three nights. And Elvis and Scotty and Bill and me will all be uptown about as far as you can get next week at the Chiska Basement. I want you people to come see us. Remember, Phillips told you, That's All Right, Mama. Sing it, Elvis.
I'm leaving town, baby. I'm leaving.
All of a sudden, it was like my whole world turned upside down. With Scotty and Bill, we played local gigs all through the South. Everywhere we went, the crowds got bigger and girls wilder. Then one crazy day, we were somewhere on the road, I don't even know where. A man came backstage and introduced himself, Colonel Tom Parker.
Our son wasn't even 21 when Gladys and I first met Colonel Tom Parker. He was already well known for having managed Hank Snow and Eddie Arnold. Right from the start, Colonel Parker believed in Elvis. Then in 1956, the country got its first look at Elvis on national television.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to present one of radio's most listened to disc jockeys, Bill Randall. William?
We'd like at this time to introduce you to a young fellow who, like many performers, Johnny Ray among them, come up out of nowhere to be overnight very big stars. This young fellow we saw for the first time while making a movie short. We think tonight that he's going to make television history for you. We'd like you to meet him now, Elvis Presley, and here he is.
Well, get out of that kitchen and rattle those pots and pans. I'm a hungry man. I believe you're doing me wrong, and now I know. I believe you're doing me wrong, and now I know. Cause the harder I work, the faster my money goes. Well, I said shake, rattling on. 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 Boy, you won't do the right to save me a dog. I got so many women, I don't know which way to jump. Well, I said flip, flop, and fly. Don't care if I die. I said flip, flop.
After that first time on television, things really took off for me. I couldn't believe the fans around the country. Wherever we went, people wanted to get to us. They didn't try to hurt me or anything. They just wanted to take home part of me as a souvenir, that's all. People ask me why I moved around so much on stage. Well, it just came natural to me, the way I felt rock and roll.
Well, I think Elvis Presley has a nice style and sings okay, but when he gets on the stage, he starts to drive those girls nuts by shaking and jumping and laying all over the stage, you know what I mean?
Right. And you think that's bad?
Well, it's kind of crazy.
No, it just all depends, I mean, on how you look at it. I guess if you want to think it's nasty or sexy, you could, but to me, it's just...
The two things are not necessarily the same.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just so limber and loose. I mean, it's really marvelous.
Well, he just feels the rhythm, digs it the most. You don't see anything wrong with it.
No.
And now we'd like to do a song for you that we have on record. The song is called I Was the One.
Most people thought of me as a wild rock and roll singer, but I also like doing ballads.
I was one who taught her to kiss the way that she kisses you now. And you know the way she touches your cheek. Well, I taught her how. I was the one who taught her to cry when she wants you under her spell. The sight of her tears drives you out of your mind. I taught her so well. And then one day I had my love as perfect as could be. She lived, she loved, she laughed, she cried, and it was all for me. I never know who taught her to lie down, that it's over and done. Who learned a lesson when she broke my heart? I was the one.
Young man, you want an autograph? Would you stand in the back there?
Well,
I don't care who you are. Everybody wants.
I'm Elvis Presley.
Elvis Presley.
Give me the good old Rudy Valley days. Elvis, sing you his song.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, crying all the time. Well, you ain't never caught a rabbit, and you ain't no friend of mine. Well, they said you was high class. Well, that was just fine.
I had no idea this performance of Hound Dog was going to cause such a row. The critics jumped all over me for it. I still can't figure out what got them so riled.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
no room in this city for the vulgar performances of Elvis Presley.
It's shocking. I watched him gyrate his legs and swivel his hips. And our parent-teachers group feels he should not be on television.
We've set up a 20-man committee to do away with this vulgar, animalistic, nigger rock and roll bop. Our committee will check with the restaurant owners and the cafes to see what Presley Records is on their machines and then ask them to do away with them. Oh, baby.
People started calling me a sex maniac, saying I was lewd and obscene. It got to be ridiculous when the police filmed my shows. I thought the bad publicity would hurt my career, so I took a shot at telling my side of the story.
Hello? Hi, Gardner calling.
I have Elvis Presley on the phone. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Elvis. Just one moment.
Hello, Elvis. You know, less than 2 years ago, you were earning $14 a week as a movie usher and then $35 a week for driving a truck in Memphis. Today, you're the most controversial name in show business. Has this sudden notoriety affected your sleep, your appetite, or the size of your head?
Not the size of my head. It's affected my sleep.
How much sleep do you get?
Well, I average about 4 or 5 hours a night, I guess.
Is that enough?
No, it's really not, but I'm used to it, and I can't sleep any longer.
What do you keep in mind mostly? I mean, some of the songs you're going to do or some of your plans or what? What goes through your mind?
Well, everything has happened to me so fast in the last year and a half till I'm all mixed up, you know? I mean, I can't keep up with everything that's happening.
Your style of gyrating while you sing has been bitterly criticized, even by usually mild and gentle TV critics. Now, do you bear any animosity towards these critics?
Well, not really. Those people have a job to do, and they do it.
And do you think you've learned anything from the criticism leveled at you?
No, I haven't.
You haven't, huh?
Because I don't feel that I'm doing anything wrong.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, girl. You cry when you find.
Rock and roll has got to go. And go it does at KWK. We're all through playing rock and roll records. This week is record-breaking week here at KWK. And after this week, no more rock and roll will be played on the air.
The obscenity and vulgarity of the rock and roll music is obviously a means by which the white man and his children can be driven to the level with the nigger. It is obviously nigger music.
It's our feeling here in Jersey City that this rock and roll rhythm is filled with dynamite, and we don't want the dynamite to go off in the Roosevelt Stadium in Jersey City. After we heard about the incidents throughout the country and the coming of this concert to Jersey City, I asked our Commissioner of Public Safety, Lawrence Whipple, to look into the matter, and he did make a survey of the situation.
My department made a very thorough investigation of these so-called programs. We had telephone conversations and correspondence with various municipalities, included among these being Hartford, Connecticut, Orange, New Jersey, Asbury Park, and the city of Hoboken. And we find that these programs are not for the good of the community, and that's why I ordered them banned.
I don't see that any type of music would have any bad influence on people when it's only a music. I mean, I can't figure it out. I mean, in a lot of the papers that say rock and roll is a big influence on juvenile delinquency, I don't think that it is.
What about the rumor that you once shot your mother?
Well, I think that one takes the cake. I mean,
where'd that one come from? Have you any idea?
I have no idea. I can't imagine.
Well, there's another one, too, you may not have heard before. Several newspaper stories hinted that you smoked marijuana in order to work yourself into a frenzy while singing. What about that?
And at this time, it gives me extreme pleasure to introduce the new Elvis Presley. Here he is.
When it came to television, the controversy about me got everyone all nervous. It was decided I'd clean up my act on Steve Allen's show. Some friends of mine told me I should have never gone on dressed like this. Afterwards, I kind of regretted it.
Elvis, I must say you look absolutely wonderful. You really do. And I think your millions of fans are really going to kind of a kick seeing a different side of your personality tonight.
Well, thank you, Mr. Allen.
I'll hold your guitar here.
It's not too often that I get to wear the flute and tails. But I think I have on something tonight that's not quite correct for evening wear.
Not quite formal? What's that, Elvis?
Blue suede shoes.
Oh, yeah. I know what you mean. Well, Elvis, you're certainly being a real good sport about the whole thing, and now I have a little surprise for you. Gene, can I have the surprise? I predict it's going to be one because I've heard you rehearse it, called Hound Dog. I got you a very cute little hound dog right here.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, crying all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, crying all the time. Well, you ain't never caught a rabbit and you ain't no friend of mine. Well, I said you was high class. Well, that was just a lie. Yeah, they said he was high-pressed. Well, that was just a lie. Yeah, you ain't never caught a rabbit and you ain't no friend of mine. You ain't nothing but a hound dog could cry all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog could cry all the time. You ain't never caught a rabbit. You ain't no friend of mine. You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
I did my first TV skit with Steve and his regulars. Thank God it turned out to be my last.
This is your old partner, Big Steve, and the whole gang, and it's mighty good to be here putting on our show for all you folks out there in television land. Right, gang? Right! Anyway, this joke you hear is Tumbleweed Presley. Come on out, Tumble. I'll tell you about this fella. He is a trick rider. You ain't seen trick riding until you've seen Tumbleweed, right?
You tell him, Big Steve.
I'm telling him. You tell me to tell him, and I'll tell him. But you know, let me tell you, yesterday he went across the range at a full gallop, blindfolded, and he picked up a rattlesnake with his teeth. He jumped four fences, and he dropped that snake into a gopher hole at a full gallop. Tell him why it was so tough, Tumbleweed.
I don't use no horse.
All right, we're going to a little Western song going for you right now. Here we go. You stopped out with that rattling man. Well, I got a girl, name is Sue. She's my little buckaroo. Hey. She's a Western gallop horse, cactus skin and a face like a horse. Yippee-i-yo, yippee-i-yo, yippee-i-yo.
Well, I got a horse and I got a gun, and I'm going out and have some fun. I'm a warning you galoots, and don't step on my blue suede.
Yeah!
Yippee-i-yo, yippee-i-yo, yippee-i-yo.
All the attention I'd been getting got the studios interested in me. My first film was going to be called Areno Brothers, but I had a hit song out at the time, so they renamed it Love Me Tender. The Colonel put together a huge premiere in New York City. But when the movie opened, some film critics took pot shots at my acting. Still, the picture did real well at the box office, thanks to the fans.
I know what you're thinking, Clint.
In the film, Richard Egan played my brother. And because we were both in love with Deborah Padgett, we ended up in a shootout.
There's nothing else between us, I swear it, nothing at all.
Well, go on. Peg him now, or I'll peg him myself.
Come on, let's get the money and get out of here.
Get away from him! Leave him alone!
Kid, where's Vance?
I gotta talk to him.
Right here, Clint.
Vance, I didn't mean it.
I know you did, Clint. You don't have to tell me. Everything's gonna be all right.
I saw the film for the first time with my folks in Memphis. After the picture ended, I remember having to calm Mama down. At first, I didn't realize what was wrong. She was upset and crying. Finally, she said she just couldn't stand to watch me getting killed up there on the screen.
And I always will.
In 1957, Elvis bought us Graceland, a beautiful house and farm outside Memphis. We felt like we were living way out in the country.
Merry, Merry Christmas, baby. Sure did treat me nice.
Elvis insisted Vernon and me and his grandmama move in and live with him. By then, Elvis already had 6 or 7 Cadillacs. He used to say if he ever went broke, he could always open a used car lot.
Give me a diamond ring for Christmas. Now I'm living in paradise.
Those were good times for us. Almost everything was going right for me. I liked having people around, but I started to feel, even with my old friends, things were a little different.
Well, I'm feeling mighty fine. Got good music on my radio. Well, I wanna kiss you, baby, while you're standing near the mistletoe. Take it on, baby, take it on.
When I was home in Memphis, once in a while, I liked to visit old friends, like TV host Wink Martindale.
How about the big show at Rustwood Park scheduled for July 4th? Bob Johnson, surely I know, wants us to mention that, and we want to mention it. I believe the proceeds from this show go to the Cynthia Milk Fund. Is that right, Elvis?
Yes, sir, that's right. And I'd like to say that we have a diamond ring that we're going to have as a door prize.
Uh-huh.
It's my initial ring. I've had it for some time, and it has 14 diamonds in it. And we're going to give it away at the door as a door prize.
I see.
And everything.
And all the proceeds from this particular show, this is July 4th at Rustwood Park. Elvis is going to be there. He's going to sing and play. His band will be there. Many other stars will be there, too. And we will certainly want you to watch Bob Johnson's column in the Memphis Press Seminar, watch all the publicity on it, and get your tickets in advance. Elvis Presley? I want to thank you again because
thank
we know
you,
you're a busy man, and thanks a lot for coming by and seeing us at the dance party and saying hello to all your friends here in Memphis and the Mid-South. And anytime you're in town and want to come by, we certainly will welcome you.
Well, thank you very much, Wink, and I'll see you again.
Okay, thanks a lot. Elvis Presley.
Hey, you guys, there's that rock and roll cowboy I told you about.
Hey, you want him to sing? Well, I'll get him to do it. He's just waiting for you.
Well, I just hope we do as well in the cities as we did in the small town.
City's just like a small town, only taller.
Hey, you, sideburns. I got a chick down there wants to hear you sing.
Well, I'm sorry, folks.
Well, why don't you come around the theater tomorrow afternoon? We'll be on the stage.
Now, I told my girl I'd get you to sing. A man can't go back on his word, can he, fella?
Look, maybe you didn't understand me, fella. But Mr. Rivers doesn't sing in juke joints, so why don't you run on back and drink your malted, huh?
Say, what's the trouble here? These show people starting something?
There's no trouble, sir. Do you mind if I sing a little song with these folks?
Well, no, he don't mind. Do you, Frank?
No, I don't mind.
I got a woman here, she can be. I got a woman here, she can be. Sometimes I think she's almost beating me. A black cat up, died of fright. Cause she crossed his path last night. I got a woman mean that she can be.
In the movies, I was usually cast as a rock and roll rebel. And I guess those pictures helped build my image as a tough guy.
tell you, ain't bad sideburns.
And what do you do for a living?
With my old man, Nardo Accessories. Why?
Well, I usually get paid for singing as a rule. Now I figure you ought to do whatever you do for me. So how about stepping outside and putting a new set of seat covers on my car, huh?
Why, sure, sideburns. What color you want? I figure his color's yellow, don't you?
Let's police, quickly.
Not all the fights I got into were staged. Around that time, I got in a scrape with the law and had to appear in a Memphis court. A guy at a gas station took a swing at me, and I wasn't about to stand there and take it. So I punched him and got busted.
Court finds insufficient evidence to support the charge.
It's funny. Once you start to make it, some people want to hassle you. The judge agreed with me and threw the case out, but everyone was still worried about my effect on young people.
Gentlemen, we have a big show, a real big shoe, with Elvis Presley headlining tonight. Here is Elvis. Appearances on our show tonight, Elvis Presley.
I appeared on the Sullivan Show three times. The bad press and criticism of me worried Mr. Sullivan. And on my last appearance, he decided they'd film me from the waist up only.
We'd like to do the song that was my very biggest record last year. I mean, it was no bigger than the rest of them, but... sold a few more, and we'd like to tell you that to all the people watching and all you people that are here tonight that that we really are thankful for all the success that you made us have and everything. This is my biggest record, and it goes something like this.
You know I can be found sitting home all alone. If you can't come around, at least please a telephone. Well, baby, if I made you mad for something I might have said, please let's forget my past. The future looks bright ahead. Don't be cruel. One no other love, baby, it's just you. way. Come on over here and love me. You know what I want you to say. Why should we be apart? Pretty little baby, Christmas. Well, let's walk up to the preacher and let's say I do. But then you know you have me, and I know I'll have you too.
Show, Mr. Sullivan called me back out. He called me by surprise.
Elvis, ladies and gentlemen, inasmuch as he goes to the coast now for his new picture, this will be the last time that we'll run into each other for a while. But I wanted to say to Elvis Presley in the country that this is a real, decent, fine boy. And wherever you go, Elvis... who accompany you over there, we want to say that we've never had a pleasanter experience on our show with a big name than we've had with you. You're thoroughly all right. So now, let's have a tremendous hand for a very nice person.
I would never have believed it, but Mr. Sullivan actually helped put an end to the criticism of me. Then I went out to the West Coast to make my second movie.
Here at Union Station, in spite of all the secrecy, Elvis Presley, being mobbed by teenagers, is coming up to the... Elvis Presley, how are you?
Hi, sir. How are
Ivan
you?
Ivan Smith, representing ABC. Which song do you think is the biggest right now?
Don't Be Cruel.
How about Teddy Bear? How's it doing?
It's about 2 million now.
We have a bunch of teenagers up the other side of the studio waiting to see you, and as you can see, in spite of all the secrecy and this little devious plan, that a lot of it's leaked out. So I think
yes, it always does. It always does, but I don't mind it. In fact, if you come into a place, there's nobody there to meet you, you start wondering, you know.
Really?
Very nice talking to you, sir. We're going to have to run.
All right. Well, thank you very much, sir.
Bye-bye.
In Hollywood, I made a film, Loving You, in which I played a delivery boy who makes it big as a rock and roll star. That wasn't the only time I did a picture with that storyline.
Oh, Elvis, come on and sing.
I don't know what it was about one song in that picture, but people from all over the world sent me hundreds of teddy bears.
I don't wanna be a tiger, 'cause tigers play too rough. I don't wanna be a lion, 'cause lions ain't the kind you love enough. You're a teddy bear, put a chain around my neck and leave me anywhere. Oh, let me be. Oh, teddy bear. Oh, let me be.
Oh, let him be your teddy bear.
I just want to be your teddy bear.
What is your connection with Mr. Presley?
Groucho, I'm the president of the San Diego Elvis Presley Fan Club and the honorary president over 100 Southern California chapters of Elvis Presley Fan Clubs.
Well, that's quite impressive. Does he have any fans in foreign countries?
Oh, yes, he does. We have clubs that are springing up all over in Japan and China.
You say rock and roll has spread to Japan and
very
China?
Definitely, certainly.
Well, that'll teach him to send us the Asiatic flu. America strikes back. You have any souvenirs of Elvis, Renee?
Oh, I'm just loaded with them, Groucho. I can't hardly get in and out of my room. I brought a few with me.
What have you got there?
Oh, I've got some Elvis Presley teddy bear perfume, and this is the sexiest stuff. And I have a guitar pick, which I stole. But I want to tell you something else I have, too, which is my very greatest prized possession. And that is the red and white Western outfit that he wore in the picture Loving You when he sings Teddy Bear. And I wouldn't take $1 million for it. In fact, it's insured. And I also finagled around, and I have two locks of his hair.
You have locks of his hair? Do you have any cream cheese to go with it?
Is this a rock and roll personality, sir? Elvis Presley?
Elvis Presley?
Elvis Presley what?
Elvis Presley is his son.
No.
His father.
Elvis Presley is your brother. What did I say? He's not your grandson.
No.
He is?
Yes, he is. This is Mr. Jesse Presley. He is the grandfather of Elvis Presley. Mr. Presley is a carpenter by trade, but throughout his hometown of Louisville, Kentucky, he is also quite well known as a singer of folk songs. Now, sir, let me ask you this. Do you rock and roll?
No, sir. But I rock while I sing. You rock while you sing?
Yes. He means in an actual rocking chair. He says he feels more comfortable rocking while he's singing. So you can see where some of this pelvic movement came from.
I'll tell you what we do, fellas. I want you to, anybody wants to ask Hedda Hopper a question, if you'll just raise your hand when I point at you, why, just get up and real loud, ask the question, and we'll try to answer it. All right, you, stand up.
How much money has Elvis Presley made since his career started?
Are you kidding? When he started, he couldn't spell Tennessee. Now he owns it.
How many gold records does Elvis have?
Well, in order to get a gold record, you've got to sell 1 million of that record. And he owns 26 gold records. It's the all-time record.
Really good. They gave me a gold hole. For making 1 million records that didn't sell 1 million.
My favorite picture, King Creole, was directed by the man who did Casablanca, Michael Curtiz. In the film, I played Danny Fisher, a rebel kid who loses all respect for his weak-kneed father.
No, Paul, that's not what you brought me up to do, but I stopped listening to you. I ran out of other cheeks. You know, I remember once, Pop, when I was no more than 3 feet high, you took me to the circus. You accidentally bumped into some guy, and he turned around and punched you. He punched you right in the mouth, and you know what you did? Nothing. Nah. When they swing at you, Pop, it's not enough to duck. You got to swing back. Maybe you can't anymore, but I'm not taking after you. You go to school. I'm going out and make a buck.
Here I go again. Another demanding role. I played a tough kid who makes it as a singer.
He's a guitar man with a great big soul. He lays down a beat like a ton of coal. He goes by the name of King Creole, even though he's gone. Jumping like catfish on a pole. Even though he's gone. At a pack of chicken, King Creole.
Sings a song about a crawdad at home. He sings a song about a jelly roll. He sings a song about a pork and greens.
He sings some blues about a New Orleans. He's gone. Jumping like cats.
My co-star in King Creole was a young actress I'd worked with before, Dolores Hart. Whenever I was in Hollywood making films, I hardly ever went out. I was never one for socializing with the show business crowd. This was an exception. After filming King Creole, a bunch of us got together for a small birthday party for one of the picture's co-stars, Jan Shepard. It was given by actress Valerie Allen. I showed up with a camera as a gift for Jan, so she filmed us goofing around.
Last thing of the future.
We had a ball sitting around and singing together. Dolores Hart accompanied me on clarinet, and Ty Harden was there too.
But you, my last, take the love that I've ever been.
A few years later, we were all surprised when Dolores Hart ended her successful film career and became a nun.
Let's think of the future. Forget the past. Go on my first love.
When found guilty by a jury of your peers of the crime of manslaughter.
I didn't know if it was movies following real life or the other way around. But in the film Jailhouse Rock, I was standing in front of a judge again. This time I got sent up the river.
Dismissed.
A little while back, I had a kind of a vacation with a bunch of men in a big place away out yonder. And, well, we always had a lot of fun with this one. The Jailhouse Rock.
Hey, let's get out of here! Hey, pick them up! One threw a party in the county jail. The prison band was there and they began to wait. The band was jumping and the joint began to swing. You should have heard this knocked out jailbird sing.
Choreographing this title song was a lot of fun. No wonder this was my favorite production number.
Spider Murphy played his inner saxophone. Little Joe was blowing on the slide trombone. The drummer boy from Illinois would crash, boom, bang. The whole rhythm section was a purple gang. Let's rock. Everybody, let's rock. Everybody knows it.
All of a sudden, the fantasy life I'd been caught up in ended when Uncle Sam called. I thought, well, that's it. It's all over. But what really worried me was my mother's health. She'd been under a lot of strain, and now everything was changing again.
Congratulations, you are now in the Army. You're all privates. That's the way you'll be addressed from now on. Private Presley, you'll be in charge of the group.
As I watched Elvis say goodbye to his friends, I kept thinking about everything we'd been through as a family, and now Elvis was going away. It's not easy for a mother to say goodbye to her only child, especially a son like Elvis.
I got those up, two, three, four, occupation GI blues. From my G.I. head to the heels of my G.I. shoes. And if I don't go stateside soon, I'm gonna blow my fuse. We'll get Hoss and Pfeffer and Black Pumpernickel for chow. I blow my next month's pay for a slice of a Texas cow. I got those up, two, three, four, occupation G.I. From my G.I. head to the heels of my G.I. shoes. And if I don't go stateside soon, I'm gonna blow my fuse.
Occupation G.I. blue.
Occupation G.I. blue.
Ready.
Elvin Pelvin drafted. Rock and roll idol to be G.I. Elvin sent to Fort Dix under guard.
$1 million has flown into this nest.
Now, you heard the captain.
Show a fuss, and it'll fly right out of you.
$1 million.
We're not going to be greedy. Just a steady $10,000 a week.
Hey, how are we going to get it? Like, if he sings, how do we cut in?
Sure. He's in the army now. He's a member of our platoon. He won't sing alone. He'll sing with our glee club.
We got a glee club?
We have one now.
All right, fellas, we got to get moving. Got to do. Where's Elvin? I thought he would be with you. Where
here I am, Sergeant Bill.
I want Elvin. Elvin. That's Elvin. How do you like it? I didn't recognize him. Looks like any other GI with his uniform on. Looks. Let me see the back of it. Looks fine.
Fine. Oh, yeah.
I went through basic training in Texas, and I had my folks move down. I rented them a nice place in Killeen, a small town just off the base. It wasn't exactly Grayson, but at least it was off limits to drill sergeants. Well, my mother's health took a sudden turn for the worse. She returned to Memphis. I took a private plane home as soon as I could get an emergency leave. Daddy was already at the hospital taking care of Mom.
When Elvis arrived at the hospital, I had the tough job of telling him it was more serious than we thought. When we went into her room, Gladys was real weak, but you could see a sparkle in her eye when she saw Elvis walk in.
As we left, I had this empty feeling in my gut. When I first saw Mama, I couldn't help crying. Then she calmed me down just the way she always had. I left her praying she'd get better, but she passed away the very next night. My mother's death affected my whole life. I loved her so very much. All of a sudden, I felt like my life had no meaning without her. A month later, we were shipped off to New York, our point of departure for Germany. I was relieved the reporters didn't ask me about my mother.
Elvis, do the other soldiers give you a rough time because you're famous?
No, sir, I was very surprised. I've never met a better group of boys in my life. They probably would have if it'd been like everybody thought. I mean, everybody thought I wouldn't have to work and I would be given special treatment and this and that. But when they looked around and saw I was on KP and I was pulling guard and everything just like they were, well, they figured, well, he's just like us.
Elvis, what do you think about going to Germany?
Well, sir, I'm kind of looking forward to it. I mean, just before I came in the Army, we were planning a tour of Europe. And I got quite a bit of mail from over there and everything, you know, and I'm kind of looking forward to it, really.
Arriving in Germany was something else. I'd never been out of the States before, except for one weekend when I played in Canada. It was some kind of surprise that welcome the German fans gave me. I just couldn't believe it. It was as wild as anything back home. Later, when I got out of the Army, I made GI Blues. It was Hollywood's idea of what my life was supposedly like in Germany.
Is this train to Frankfurt special? Ain't this outfit some special? Well, we heard rumors from the bases. Frankfurt girls got pretty faces. Go special, go. Blow, whistle, blow. Frankfurt special's got a special way to go.
Now, when we get to our headquarters, we'll be good boys and follow orders.
Don't take girls from one another. No, 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 no. They'll treat a sailor like a brother.
Row a special go. Row is a flow. Paper special's got a special way to go.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Stationed with the 3rd Armored Division about 30 miles from Frankfort. Colonel and I decided I was in the service to be a soldier, not a singer. But a lot of officers pressured me to perform at Army bases. I never did. Sometimes we'd go out on tank maneuvers and it would get so cold at night we'd have to pop bennies to stay awake. If you fell asleep on watch, you could get frostbite. I rented a home in Bad Nauheim, a town near the base, and I sent for my daddy and grandma to come over and live with me.
Well, happy birthday.
I was in Germany a total of 15 months. On my 25th birthday, just before heading home, we had a small party. While over there, I met a young girl, Priscilla Beaulieu, whose father was a colonel in the Air Force. She was only 14, but she made a strong impression on me.
I met Elvis about 6 weeks before his tour of duty was completed. A friend of mine who knew him asked me if I wanted to meet him. What girl wouldn't? Elvis was real friendly, but it was all over so soon. As I waved goodbye, I wondered if I'd ever see him again.
In March 1960, I returned to the States wearing my new sergeant's stripes. It felt good to be back on American soil, even if it was in the middle of a blizzard and 6:30 in the morning. I was feeling nervous and excited, but I was happy just to be back. Inside at Fort Dix, a press conference was set up. To start things off, the photographers asked that I shake hands with Colonel Parker. Some fans also managed to get in, and I was surprised that one girl actually slipped her phone number in my jacket while I was trying to pay attention to questions from the press.
Elvis, do you feel that you're a little old for the teenagers now?
That's the first time I've been asked that one. I don't know. I don't feel too old. I can still move around pretty good.
Are you apprehensive about what must be a comeback?
Yes, I am. I mean, I have my doubts. You know, I'm not gonna commit myself in saying that I'm gonna do this or I'm gonna do that because I don't know actually. The only thing I can say is that I'm gonna try. I'll be in there fighting.
Now that you're about to be discharged from the Army, Elvis, have 2 years of sobering Army life changed your mind about rock and roll?
Sobering Army life? No, it hasn't. It hasn't changed my mind because I was in tanks for a long time, you see. And they rock and roll quite a bit.
After landing on the East Coast, we travel cross-country by train. I've been thinking about this day for almost 2 years. Now it was finally here. It felt great to be back home in Memphis. Colonel Parker organized a homecoming. He was back at work before I could even get out of my uniform. People usually forget you when you're out of the public eye, but the colonel felt we'd be able to rebuild my career. I kept hoping he was right. Colonel Coming home to Graceland was kind of strange. It felt great to be home and all, but it was a lot different without my mother there. Being home just didn't feel like it used to, and it was hard not to show it. Before I even had a chance to unwind, I had to give a press conference.
Elvis, there have been a lot of rumors about your love life. Did you meet anyone special in Germany?
Not any special one. There was a little girl that I was seeing quite often over there that her father was in the Air Force, and actually they only got over there about 2 months before I left. I was seeing her, and she was at the airport when I left. And there were some pictures made of her, but it was no big romance. I mean, the stories came out, the girl he left behind, and all that. It wasn't like that. I mean, I had to be careful when I answer a question.
Elvis, did you like the food over there when you would go out?
I never went out.
You never ate out in a restaurant?
I never ate in a restaurant the entire time I was in Germany. It's funny. I either ate in the mess hall or at home, one of the two. I never went anywhere while I was in Europe except to Paris. I went to Paris and on a leave, and it was all.
Can you give us in detail some of your future plans?
Well, the first thing I have to do is to cut some records. And then after that, I have the television show with Frank Sinatra.
Then it was off to Miami to tape the show. It's funny, I was a lot more nervous about performing again than I thought I'd be.
Here's the star of our show, Elvis Presley.
I may pass out.
Well, you won't like it. Where the heck are his sideburns?
Germany. Well, I'll be a hound dog. And that's the opening, friends.
I'm glad to see the Army hasn't changed it. Wasn't it great?
That's the first time I ever heard a woman screaming at a male singer.
Don't you remember me there, Charlie?
Mr. Presley, but would you think it presumptuous of Frank to join you in a duet?
Well, yeah, that would be great.
I would consider it quite an honor.
I'd like to do one of your songs.
All right.
With you.
Fine. You know, I was wondering, as a matter of fact, while you were singing, Elvis, I thought to myself, I wonder what would have happened if I had recorded Love Me Tender instead of you. I wouldn't have made any difference.
I think it would, about 2 million records less.
He said that.
You smarty pants. Oh, and that's what we do. You do witchcraft, okay? And I'll do one of the other ones. Okay? Hey, Nelson? We work in the same way, only in different areas.
Love me tender, love me sweet. Never let me go. Have made my life complete, and I love you so.
Those fingers in my hair, fly come hither stare, that strips my conscience bare, it's true wish fair.
Love me tender, love me true, all my dreams fulfill. I love you, and I always will. For my darling, I love you.
Man, that's pretty.
And I always will.
After the Frank Sinatra special, we went over to Hawaii to do a benefit concert for the victims of the USS Arizona. One of the ships sunk in a surprise attack on Pearl Harbor. The proceeds from the concert helped build a memorial to the Americans who lost their lives there. I felt great. After 2 years in the Army, people hadn't forgotten me. The reception we got in Honolulu was pretty wild. It sure felt good to be out in the public again.
What are you going to do today, Elvis, after this is all over? You going to sneak out on the beach and get some sun?
I'm going to take these layers off of my neck so I can walk.
It's kind of hard to concentrate this afternoon.
It's hard for me to concentrate any time.
The light is young.
After the benefit concert, I went to work on a new picture for producer Hal Wallace. It was decided I'd be going out on location. I wasn't sure if I still had an audience, but my fears proved unfounded when Blue Hawaii turned out to be my biggest box office success. Still, the kinds of rock and roll songs I sang back in the 50s were a long way from Rockahula.
Well, she moves her hips up to her fingertips, I feel I'm heaven bound. And when she starts to sway, I've gotta say, she really moves the grass around. Rock, a hula baby, rock, a hula baby, got a hula loop, I'm a hula loop, that a rock, a hula baby of mine.
After he left Germany, Elvis and I stayed in touch. He must have run up some incredible phone bills. When I was 16, Elvis thought it would be great if I came to live at Graceland. He called my parents and assured them that I'd attend a good private school, as well as study modeling and ballet. My father approved when it was decided that Mr. Presley and his new wife, Dee, would be my guardians. Elvis never lived a normal life. He couldn't even go to the movies like most people.
Get out of here! Get out of here!
Elvis would have to rent the Memphian Theater after midnight when it was closed. Fans would somehow always find out about it and show up. Elvis had a thing about Cadillacs. Over the years, he bought more than 100 cars for friends. I remember in one day, he bought 7 of them. He just loved seeing the expressions on people's faces when he'd give them gifts. Elvis was the most comfortable at home. I'd have to say the best times we had were when we were totally alone. We always had so much fun at Christmas. Elvis would have Goldsmith's department store open up after hours, and we'd go crazy buying gifts for all our friends and relatives. Christmas was always so important to Elvis. Those were wonderful times we spent together. But most of the year, Elvis was away making movies, and it would get awfully lonely in Memphis without him.
For the next few years, I made about 3 pictures a year. And by the end of the 60s, I had racked up 31 films in all. At first, we worked in Hollywood. And then we started going to locations like the Seattle World's Fair. I always took my guys along, and most of them had small parts in the pictures. After a while, the movies I was making became so similar, it was hard to tell one script from the next. We'd always be kidding around on the set, and Colonel Parker was up to his old pranks again. He gave me an award for all my challenging roles, a ham.
Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business for me to be involved in. Uh-huh. Blonde hair, good looking, trying to get me hooked. Want me to marry, settle down, and get a home and write a book. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business for me to be involved in. Working in the filling station, too many tasks. Wipe the window, check the tires, check the oil, dollar gas. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business for me to be involved in. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business.
While I was making those silly movies, the Beatles were conquering America.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you something. I think you'll understand.
One psychiatrist recently said you're nothing but 4 Elvis Presley.
Oh, it's not true. It's not true.
Something very nice happened, and the Beatles got a great kick out of it. Just received a wire, they did, from Elvis Presley and Colonel Tom Parker, wishing them a tremendous success in our country. I think that was very, very nice.
For the most part, I spent the 60s making about 3 films a year. It only took 4 or 5 weeks to shoot them, and I was making a million a picture. It all seemed to make a lot of sense, but I also paid a price. I was getting further and further from what was happening in the music scene. I was cutting those soundtracks for my movies while the Beatles, Rolling Stones, and Bob Dylan were all over the charts. We were working so much in Hollywood that I bought a couple of houses out there. And some of my guys from Memphis moved in with me. One year when the Beatles were in town, they came over. And we talked till early the next morning and ended up jamming together. Pity there weren't any cameras or tape recorders around. I really wanted to be a good actor, but before I knew it, I had no say in the scripts I was filming. Hollywood's image of me was all wrong, but I couldn't really do anything about it. I was usually obligated 4 years in advance. And people just wanted me to repeat the same thing because it had been successful in the past.
A poor man wants to be a rich man. A rich man wants to be a king. But the man who can sing when he hasn't got a thing.
In Hollywood, lots of celebrities volunteer for charity work. 1 year, Barbara Stanwyck and Frank Sinatra headed a charity drive for the Motion Picture Relief Fund. I wanted to do my part and donated $50,000. Down in Memphis, we used to have an annual event where we handed out checks to 50 organizations doing charity work. Some of these groups were the same ones that helped people like us when our family moved to Memphis. 1 year, we pitched in for Danny Thomas's St. Jude's Hospital in Memphis. I donated President Roosevelt's yacht for the benefit of the kids. Most of the time, though, I wasn't out in public much, but some reporters still always seemed to find a story.
This is Elvis Presley's Cadillac, and we just thought you might be interested in seeing a little bit about what this car really entails. All of this that I'm pointing to now, everything is done in a gold motif. And all of the metal trim, for example, is actually 24-karat gold-plated. Dig this. Shoeshine. This is a television set, obviously, which can be turned to accommodate any one of the passengers here in the back seat. This is a refrigerator, an honest-to-goodness refrigerator, where refreshments or what have you can be kept. And here, as an adjunct to the refrigerator, is an ice maker. This is a record player, 45 RPM record player, and I can't quite figure this one out because you stick the records in there somehow or another, and it sort of seems upside down, but it does work. You can see that when Elvis travels, he travels in a great deal of style, comfort, and convenience.
It had been a long time since I'd performed in public, so when people bugged Colonel Parker about me not being out on the road, he decided to send one of my Cadillacs out on a world tour.
Elvis and I decided to get married on May 1st, 1967. We called our friends and families to Las Vegas for the wedding. I could hardly believe that I was Mrs. Elvis Presley.
You have made my life complete, and I love you so. Love me tender, love me true, all my dreams fulfill. For my darling, I love you, and I always will.
My reaction to Elvis's marriage? Well, it's wonderful. It's about time he settled down. I hope he'll be happy, you know, because he deserves it.
Actually, I'm quite relieved. It's been nothing but Elvis this, Elvis that, between me and my girl. I'm tired of hearing it, really.
He looks so good. It's hard to believe he's been single all these years. That Priscilla must be some kind of special lady.
After the wedding, we flew to Palm Springs for our honeymoon, where Vernon and his wife Dee joined my parents and our friends. The celebrations continued back at Graceland.
I got something to tell you that I think you want to know. That my eyes are on you, baby, since a long time ago. Now I finally got the nerve and I'm gonna make my move. Now don't you try to turn me off, cause this is gonna be hard to do. I got a thing about you, baby. Ain't nothing I can do. I got a thing about you, baby. A thing about loving you.
Day after our wedding, our daughter Lisa Marie was born. Elvis was totally ecstatic. He always loved having family around, and now he was happier than ever.
I know that I can't live without you. I think about you all the time. I got a thing about you, baby. Ain't nothing I can do.
Lisa Marie changed his whole life. Elvis adored her.
This is another convention of the official Elvis Presley fan club of Great Britain. The only snag to cloud this nostalgic jaunt back to the 1950s is that the object of their affections won't actually be here in person. The dancing in the aisles recalls nostalgic memories of the 50s, when Elvis inspired the youth of the world with his unique style and smash records.
Can you tell me why you're dressed this way?
Well, rock and roll, wasn't it, you know? Elvis first started, that was a thing, wasn't it? You pulled it in.
I think Elvis is great.
What's so great about it?
Oh, it's marvellous. There's nobody can sing like him.
I feel if more people in the world followed Elvis Presley's way of life, the world would be a much better place.
Middle-aged women are here to recall their long-lost days as trendy mums and teddy boys of years ago who brought their children to show them what it was like when Dad was a teenage bopper. But where is this man they've come to worship? Is he a relic of the 50s? Will we ever see Elvis in person again?
After a while, I was getting tired of making movies. The scripts were so bad, I'd actually get physically ill. I guess I cared too much. Then we came up with the idea of doing my own TV special. It had been almost 10 years since I'd performed in front of an audience. I started getting excited just going to rehearsals. It was just the challenge I needed. The guys closest to me knew what I was going through, especially Joe Esposito.
1968 was a turning point for Elvis. He was 33, and his personal life had changed a lot with the birth of Lisa Marie. But Elvis wasn't cravely satisfied with what he was doing. The special got him all worked up again. Elvis really wanted to show the public he was a lot more of an entertainer than they've been seen in his films. But I knew he also had his doubts.
See you guys tomorrow.
So long, Elvis.
Whenever.
You're looking for trouble? You came to the right place. You're looking for trouble? Just look right in my face. I was born standing up and talking back. My dad. Around with me.
My comeback special, an hour of prime time just the way I wanted to fill it. I hadn't been on the air since the Sinatra show, and I was nervous all right, but I loved every minute of it. The challenge and the raw excitement.
Well, I quit my job down at the car wash. I left my mama a goodbye note. By sundown, I left Kingston with my guitar up my coat. I hitchhiked all the way down to Memphis, got a room at the YMCA. For the next 3 weeks, I went a hunting them nights, just looking for a place to play. But I thought my finger would set them on fire, but nobody wanted to hire a guitar man.
This bordello sequence was cut out before the show aired in 1968. It was considered too racy for the times by the network censors.
Now don't be afraid, just relax and take it real slow. Cool it, baby, you ain't got no ways to go. Just put your arms. Enjoy yourself, baby. Don't fight. All you gotta do is just let yourself go. Let yourself go. Let yourself go.
One of my favorite parts of the show was a loose rap session with some of the guys I started with back in 54.
It's been a long time, Jack, I'm telling you.
It's been a while.
A while. First of all, we'd like to thank you for coming out here tonight to the show. And this is supposed to be like an informal section of the show where we faint or do whatever we want to do, especially me.
It blows the ladies right here somewhere.
Don't fight. Now give me that piece of paper, man. Let's see what I'm supposed to do next here.
No fair look at the script.
Says here Elvis will talk about shooting from the waist down and not being able to touch hands with body, our body with hands. Just got this show off the air, boy, I'll tell you. Wait a minute. There's something wrong with my lip.
Well,
you remember that, don't you? Yeah. I got news for you, baby. I did 29 pictures like that. That's all I could move in Florida.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, the police filmed a show one time in Florida, so I couldn't move. I had to stand still. The only thing I moved was my little finger like that. You ain't nothing but a hell of a hell of a time. You know, for the whole show. Well, it's one for the money.
For the closing of my special, I decided I wanted to say something about the times and what I was feeling. I was shaken up when Martin Luther King was assassinated in my hometown, and Robert Kennedy was killed in Los Angeles. I never believed much in messages, but when my producer gave me this song, I knew right away I had to end the special with it.
There must be lights burning brighter somewhere. Got to be birds flying higher in a sky more blue. If I can dream of a better land where all my brothers walk hand in hand, tell me why. Oh, why? Oh, why can't my dream come true? Oh, why? And understanding some kind. Strong winds of promise that will blow away all the doubt and fear. If I can dream of a warmer sun where hope keeps shining, oh, everyone tell me why. Oh, why, oh, why won't that sun appear? We're lost in a cloud with too much rain. We're trapped in a world that's troubled with pain. But as long as a man has the strength, a trembling question. Still, I am sure that the answer's gonna come somehow. Out there in the dark, there's a beckoning candle. Oh, yeah. And while I can think, while I can walk, while I can stand, while I can talk, while I can dream,
After the special, I wanted to keep performing on stage. I had the itch again. I was booked into Las Vegas's biggest showroom. Fans came from as far away as Europe and Japan. The Colonel dressed up the hotel like a carnival. There were posters, teddy bears, and hound dogs all over the place.
Here's hoping you have a very successful opening and that you break both legs.
Tom Jones.
Tom Jones. Best wishes for a continuing successful Vegas show, and I hope to get a raise in the next 6 months. Joe Esposito. Dear Elvis, after 15 years, we have finally learned to understand what you say on record. Signed, RCA. my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Signed, the Pope.
Huh? Very good.
What do you mean? You can't use
it. Sunday, I'll take it. I got my telegram. It'll be triple X rated.
I think it's a particular pleasure to be able to see Elvis. I know he hasn't been on the stage in 10 years, and everybody's waiting to see it. It's like a championship fight, but I know he's going to be the winner.
As I got ready for the lights to dim, I couldn't forget when I first played Vegas in 56. A lot of people thought I bombed back then. It shook me up all right. But tonight would be a lot different.
Well, it's the one for the money.
When I came to Vegas for the first time, I don't think I was quite ready for the place. Liberace and his brother were one of the town's favorite acts at the time. I wasn't at all sure if Vegas was ready for rock and roll and Elvis Presley. When I opened, the people coming to see me were quite a bit older than my usual audience. It was 1956, and I had my first number one record. But the cool reception here was my first setback. And I figured, well, that's it. Another one shot wonder bites the dust. Vegas is a tough showbiz town.
Tonight I knew I'd have to do a lot better than I did 13 years ago.
Of all charges.
Is your wife Priscilla with you?
No, she's not.
Elvis, why did you start making public appearances again?
I just missed it. I missed the closeness of an audience, of a live audience. So just as soon as I got out of the movie contracts, I started to do live performances again.
Mr. Presley? What is your opinion of war protesters? And would you today refuse to be drafted?
Honey, I just tend to keep my own personal views about that to myself. I'm just an entertainer, and I'd rather not say.
Do you think other entertainers should also keep their views to themselves?
No.
Are you satisfied with the image you've established?
Well, the image is one thing, and a human being is another, you know.
How close is the image to the man?
It's very hard to live up to an image, I'll put it that way.
What about your image as a shy, humble country boy?
Oh, I don't know what makes him think that. You know, the gold belt.
I'd like to live up to my reputation of being a nice guy. This is it, folks.
Beautiful, baby.
I've got to go back to rehearsal, folks. Thank you very much.
Starting in 1970, we spent most of our time touring from one town to the next. In 7 years, we did 1,094 shows in 130 cities. I loved being out there again. It was like back in the 50s. But after a while, the pressures of life on the road started getting to me.
Is that when we got caught that night, Chief, at the Gator Bowl?
That's yeah.
And you guys put me through a window into a paddy wagon, right, and took me to the hospital?
Yeah. You guys see that rocket this morning?
Oh yeah, did the launch go off?
Yeah, was, yeah, you could see that. You could see it.
So I had bacon, lettuce, tomato
when
sandwich.
It disconnected up there. Gigi mm-hmm. saw the explosion. I didn't know it.
I had lunch
because it just launched right over here.
I had lunch.
I had a hot lunch, all right.
How was your lunch?
No, I don't have sound.
Just for sure. Chad, help us. There's a mic up there.
That's why I want to say no. I know I wanted to know. Okay. They believe that's the guy right there.
Now you got to do a 5-minute monologue over
what
this.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
Trouble has turned into a struggle halfway across Alabama. Well, a hound broke down and left us all stranded in downtown Birmingham.
Takeoff time will be at 8:15.
You know that girl I was with last night? Oh, man, I'm going to tell you. She could have raised the dead, boy.
Right away up on that blue train, taking right across Mississippi clean. I was on that midnight flyer out of Birmingham, smoking in the New Orleans. Somebody help me get out of Louisiana, just help me get to Houston town. People there who care a little about me and have let the poor boy down.
One year I was chosen one of the 10 outstanding young men in America. It was a real honor for me. I was very moved.
So every dream that I ever dreamed has come true 100 times. I learned very early in life that without a song, the day would never end. Without a song, a man ain't got a friend. Without a song, the world would never bend. Without a song. So I'll keep singing the song.
Sure as you're born, they bought me a silk suit and put luggage in my hand. And I woke up high over Albuquerque on a jet to the promised land. Working on a T-bone steak, all the cardi flying over to the Golden State. The pilot told us in 13 minutes he would sit us at the terminal.
The single most exciting concert I ever gave was an event Colonel Parker set up in Hawaii in 1973. It was the first worldwide satellite telecast by an entertainer. It was seen in 36 countries. Over a billion people were watching.
I'd just like to say before anything else that it's a great privilege to do this satellite program, and I'm going to do my best and all the people that work with me to do a good show, which is pure, you know, entertainment. No messages and no this and that, just try to make people happy for that 1 hour that he comes across. If we do that, well, then I think I've done a job.
The Aloha from Hawaii satellite show went out live at 1 in the morning from the Honolulu International Center. Most performers might find that a weird hour to walk onto a stage, but I always felt best in the late hours of the night. I had no trouble getting worked up for this show. I was so excited I could barely wait for it to get rolling.
Thank you. You're fantastic. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Hey baby, I ain't asking what you do. No, baby, I ain't asking what you do. Well, just a bigger, bigger, bigger hug of love. Don't be a stingy little mama. You might as well have to death. You can spare a kiss or two and still I feel like another baby. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
to the top. I ain't greedy, baby, all I want is all you got, another baby. I ain't asking much of you. Well, it's a wonder. Like a child could bring and to give me that.
The Career League Cancer Drive, we were supposed to raise $25,000, and we raised $75,000 tonight. So thank you.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience. And there's a song we did in Blue Hawaii, we did here about 10 years ago. And I'd like to sing it especially for you. Thank you.
Wise men say only fools are free. Well, I can't help falling in love with you. Shall I sleep? Would it be?
If only I could have seen what was happening to me, I might have done something about it. My marriage was falling apart. Priscilla and I were hardly ever together, and even when we were, things weren't the same. One day while I was playing Vegas, Priscilla came to tell me she wanted a divorce. At first, I was angry and hurt. It took a long time for me to accept it, but losing her really got to me. After all the years together, we just couldn't make things work out.
Maybe I didn't treat you quite as good as I should have. Maybe I didn't love you quite as often as I could have. Little things I should have said and done, I just never took the time. You were always on my mind. Maybe I didn't hold you all those lonely, lonely times. And I guess I never told you I'm so happy that you're mine. If I made you feel second best, girl, I'm so sorry I was blind.
After Priscilla and I split up, it was a strange time. I was turning 40, and the only time I really felt good anymore was on stage. The best thing happening in my life then was my new girlfriend, Linda Thompson.
I met Elvis at a time when he really needed someone to be with. Living with him was pretty strange. I used to say it was a nice, abnormal life we were leading. We'd sleep during the day, then stay up all night. Over the 4.5 years we were together, I could see Elvis was slowly losing some of his passion for life. One of the only things he enjoyed anymore was practicing karate with his bodyguards.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening. But they fought with expert timing. It's an ancient Chinese art, and everybody knew their part. From a fainting to a
step,
and a kicking from the hip. Everybody was kung fu. On, we took a bow and made a stand. Started swaying with the hand. Sudden motion made me skip. Now we're on to a brand new trip. Everybody was kung fu fighting. Give up, give up, give up. Yeah, yeah.
Here at Baptist Memorial Hospital in Midtown Memphis, Elvis Presley has apparently checked into a private suite on the 15th floor. A sign that Elvis is in fact here is the aluminum foil that covers his windows to deflect the sun. A spokesman for Baptist Memorial says Presley has been admitted for exhaustion. However, private sources tell me the singer is suffering from glaucoma and stomach problems, including an ulcer. These problems have apparently led to Presley's increased dependency on prescribed medication. A few of Elvis's entourage are with him here, including his girlfriend, former Miss Tennessee, Linda Thompson. Our camera spotted Linda in the hospital's gift shop today. She was wearing a robe that matched the singing idol's. On the 15th floor, we managed to catch Elvis and Linda strolling together at the end of the hallway near his suite, guarded by an around-the-clock security man. We asked some local Memphians how they feel about our most famous citizens' legal and medical problems.
Well, if you don't mind me saying so, I don't think Elvis has really been happy since he and Priscilla divorced.
He's been working himself way too hard, and all those tours and playing in Vegas so much, I think it's taking a definite toll on him.
We just love him, and we want to get close to him, but we can't because of all of his bodyguards. And I think they're the ones that are getting him in all this trouble with the lawsuits and everything. I think they're just bad news.
Sonny, Dave, can one of you tell us why you decided to write such a sensationalistic book about Elvis?
When we wrote this book, it was out of bitterness and hurt to start with. I tell you, when we were given 3 days' notice by his father and a week's pay, after 16 years, we all had families, and he wouldn't talk to us himself. He flew out of town, and he had his father do it.
Why did Elvis fire you?
At the time, it was told us by his father that there was a cutback on expenses.
In 1977, I started to feel like things were slowly getting out of control. My health was a constant problem. But what really shook me was a book by three of my bodyguards. It hurt me a lot that they would attack me in public. I never thought friends who once were almost family would turn and try to destroy me.
That it was because of the lawsuits.
Dave, you seem to be implying before that you were writing the book in part to try and get Elvis to change his ways. Is that right?
You bet. We wanted to point out to him, you know, what he was doing, not only to himself, but to the people around him. And we didn't want him to be what he was. We wanted him to be what we knew he could be and had been.
We were trying to present him with a challenge, because if he looked back and saw all these things roll in front of him and know that they were true, I don't know how he might have dismissed them in his mind as the years went by. Well, it wouldn't like. And that's what I meant when I said maybe it will do some good for him, for the drug culture, for people to realize no one is out of reach of drugs, man. Here is a man that had it in the palm of his hand and started off with it that way, and the drugs took it away from him.
Was he hooked? What drugs are we talking about?
We're talking about uppers and downers. We're talking about sleeping pills. We're talking about things like Demerol. Yes.
You actually saw him?
Yes. My cousin Red charged in to stop it one time. I think he broke the guy's toe or something going through the door and told him that he was going to break him up if he didn't quit getting the stuff to him. And Elvis heard about it, and he called Red and Joe in. They discussed it for a while, and then finally he looked at Red and said, I'll never forget it, he said, I need him, man. I need it.
We wanted more than anything else to see him as he was in his prime, on the stage, just knocking him dead. You know?
If you loved him so much, why couldn't you protect him?
Of course, protecting. How do you protect a man from himself?
I whispered to Elvis to be careful stepping out to the stage. He was obviously way overweight, and despite his age, only 42, we knew he was in bad health. Through all the years I knew him, Elvis had taken great care to always look his best in public. It was tough for him, but now Elvis accepted his appearance, and so did his fans. In this, one of his last concerts, just 6 weeks before his death, he still poured his heart out. To the end, Elvis's greatest gift, his incredible voice, never failed him.
Thank you very much.
Don't let the lights and cameras throw you. And don't throw the lights and cameras, you can have it. But they are hot, I'll tell you for sure. And I'm going to actually play the guitar. I know three chords, believe it or not.
I faked them all for a long time. I've been catching me tonight, you know. And if you think I'm nervous, you're right. For a while, but he's doing very well. Would you stand with him, Daddy? Is there any way for him to get up here? Okay. I'd like you to say hello to my girlfriend, Ginger. Ginger, stand up, honey. Come on, Ginger. It's enough for her. This next song is called My Way.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I stayed my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived, life is full, I traveled each and every highway and more. Much more than this, I did it my way. Regrets, I had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do and saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway. More than this, I did it my way.
Yes, there were times I'm sure you knew when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, the love was down. I had a hair to spit it out. I faced it all. Had my fill, my share of losing, and now as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did all that, and may I say, not in a shy way. Oh, lovely, I did it my way. Oh, what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not. To say the word, he truly.
pass between the pages of my mind. Memories sweeten through the ages just like wine. Quiet thoughts come floating down and settle softly to the ground like gold of autumn leaves around my feet. I touch them and they burst apart with sweet memories. Memories of holding hands and red bouquets and twilights trimmed in purple haze and laughing eyes and simple ways and quiet nights and gentle days with you. Memories pressed between the pages of my mind. Memories sweeten through the ages just like wine. Memories, memories of holding hands and red bouquets and twilights trimmed in purple haze and laughing eyes and simple ways and quiet nights and gentle days with you. Memories pressed between the pages of my mind. Memories sweetened through the ages just like wine. Memories.
36 arany, platina és gyémánt album bizonyítja tehetségét. Hangja összetéveszthetetlen. Személyes varázsa mindenkit elbűvöl. Mégis csak kevesen mondhatják el, hogy igazán ismerik őt. A film arra keresi a választ, hogy honnan jött és hogyan él a magyar könnyűzene talán legeredetibb, legtitokzatosabb énekesnője. Egyszerűen. Koncz Zsuzsa. Portréfilm szombat délután 5 óra 5 perckor. A művésznő nemrég nagy sikerű koncertet adott, amelyet karácsonykor, december 25-én és 26-án tűz műsorára felvételről a Duna Televízió.
Jó estét kívánok! Olaszország ellen kezdte a szlovéniai nemzetközi tornát jégkorong válogatottunk. A súlyemelő Takács Máriát beválasztották a halhatatlanok klubjába, sorsoltak a labdarúgó BL-ben, a közbeszéd után várom önöket a részletekkel.
A világ legszegényebb országaiban minden második ember jut csak tiszta ivóvízhez.
Hazánkban minden ötödik nőt rendszeresen bántalmazza férje vagy partnere.
Afganisztánban a gyerekek több mint fele nem tud írni, olvasni.
A szeretetésség az, ami összeköt bennünket.
Csatlakozzon hozzánk! A Magyar Ökumenikus Segélyszervezet támogatásával együtt segíthetünk itthon és határainkon túl. Köszönjük!
A Duna Televízió és a Baptista Szeretetszolgálat több ezer nehéz sorsú, hazai és határon túl született gyermek megajándékozásához várja a nézők segítségét. Keressen egy üres cipősdobozt és töltse meg hasznos ajándékokkal. Egy könyv vagy játék nagy örömet szerezhet a kicsiknek, és lehet, hogy sok gyermek számára ez lesz az egyetlen ajándék. A dobozokat a Duna Televízió címére várjuk, 1016 Budapest, Mészáros utca 48. Vidéki átvevőhelyeket a www.cipősdoboz.hu honlapon talál.
Égi Vár. Megjelent Szent Martin új albuma, mellyel újra elbűvöl mindenki csodálatos szaxofon és pánsép játékával. Rajta a magyar vízilabda válogatott hivatalos bevonuló zenéje. Az album kapható a Duna Televízióban.
Ungor István vagyok, Univer őstermelő. Sok száz magyar gazdatársammal együtt évtizedek óta paprikát termesztünk. Ez az a friss paprika, melyből közös kincseink, az Univer erős pista, piros arany és a gulyás krém készülnek.
Az Univer paprika krémekben mindig megbízhat. 40 éve kizárólag friss, magyar paprikából készülnek. Univer magyar ízek, otthon az ízekben.
Orbán Viktor szerint rossz pályán van az ország, de jövőre minden megfordulhat. Fizessen elő a heti válaszra, és akár minden negyedik számot ingyen olvashatja. Látókör kérdése, heti válasz.
Ha még ma megrendeli ezen a hihetetlen áron elektromos hátvakaró készülékünket, a Superwhisker 3000-et, most többet kap a pénzért. Csak most megajándékozzuk Önt egy Predator Ultra.
Ne dőljön be a komolytalan ajánlatoknak. Növelje megtakarításait az OTP banknál, hiszen lekötései most jobban kamatoznak.
Jazz történeti kalandozások címmel egy különleges koncertre kerül sor a Zeneakadémián 2007. február 3-án szombaton. Időutazás a zeneszárnyán, innyenceknek. Este 7 órakor ne legyen más programja. Ragtime, Dixie, Swing, zene minden mennyiségben.